It's fair to say we live in a very smart society. Now, I'm talking technology here because smart devices are everywhere. They're in our pockets, they're on our wrists, and they talk to us in our homes. In fact, they can do so much for us now. And if you are someone who is blind or partially sighted, you'll find that smart devices can make a massive difference to all sorts of things, from surfing the web, checking your bank statements, shopping online, even operating equipment, lights, heating and so on in the house. How accessible, though, are some of these new pieces of equipment? We're going to concentrate today on white goods, you know, things like washing machines, fridges, freezers, dishwashers, all that kind of thing. And to tell us more, we'll be chatting with Chris Lofthouse from RIDC. Chris, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Tell us first of all, Chris, about the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers.
Yes, we used to be called RICA until last year, the Research Institute for Consumer Affairs. We've changed our name, as you've rightly said, to the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers. We're still the same organisation. We carry out consumer research with older and disabled people, including blind and partially sighted people. So it's high quality research based around people. And to that end, we have a consumer research forum or panel who help us with the research. And we've looked into white goods over quite a period of time.
When you think about perhaps the spending power of people with disabilities, add into that, you know, we are a society who are living longer. You know, it seems almost obvious that manufacturers should really be looking at accessibility from the drawing board stage.
Absolutely. Both me and you, and probably all your listeners, would agree with that statement. But unfortunately, at an industry level, there is little research or insight taken at the design level into the needs of the ever-increasing older population, and especially blind and partially sighted people. I mean, the market appears to be driven really by focusing on the younger generation who are using high tech. And also, in addition, with technology, the products change so quickly. In a way, this falls outside the remit of many charities and BI organizations who are campaigning on other issues.
I use smart devices a lot, Chris, you know, from the smartphone in my pocket. I've got the home assistant as well. And there's been a real explosion in things from Amazon, Google, Apple. But what I've also noticed is since moving house, actually just last year, you know, we had to buy integrated white goods. So many items now are touch, and you're having to use screens for many of these. I'm looking at ones that perhaps don't have connectivity at the moment, but that whole tactile and easy feedback seems to be disappearing.
Yes, I think that's right. And what you've really highlighted is that the sort of two distinct kind of audiences that are there, the techies who, like yourself, use the smartphones, and then the other people, the other group, which includes many people who don't use technology but rely on tactile. And the market is really changing, and flat screens with no tactile feedback on white goods is becoming increasingly common. And really, in a sense, this has quite a big impact on people, because if people are used to using a cooker with tactile feedback, then to buy a cooker that suddenly has a flat screen that they can't use is quite a big trauma.
Also, when I was shopping around anyway, the items that I purchased online, because they fitted what I was looking for in terms of what they did, efficiency, and they were integrated appliances. But I couldn't actually go to a store to physically check these out because they were only available online. See, when you throw that into the mix as well, that's just another obstacle, if you like.
It is. We did research on how do people find a cooker if they're blind or partially sighted. We went with people to the shops, to the stores, and it was clear that really speaking to a sales person who knew the product range was a key issue really to solving the problem. And really that's the advice, is if you can, go to a store and really be clear about what your needs are. You know, can you find me a cooker without digital display? We're talking department stores, and as we both know, department stores are becoming less common in our high streets, and more things are moving online. I mean, we believe that appliances, you know, do exist that have helpful features. They're not all digital, but it's very difficult for consumers to identify them, both either online or in store. The guidance that we had, which, as I say, was funded by Thomas Pocklington Trust, was called Choosing Cookers, Ovens and Microwaves. It gives people an overview of the features. The key thing that's missing, which, you know, you moving house would want to know, is which make and model is accessible and has tactile feedback, or if you're partially sighted, has color contrast. This information, this consumer information, unfortunately just doesn't exist out there in a ready, easily accessible form.
When it comes to then smart integration, because, you know, I have a home assistant, I can use it for putting lights on and off, I can use it for plug sockets, my heating system. I was seeing more of these being integrated into things like washing machines. And again, you know, you're thinking, well, is the app accessible? Never mind that the product, the machine itself.
Yes. I mean, this is a sort of for the future situation, because, you know, connected white goods, as far as we in our research has gone, looking at cookers and washing machines, they're few and far between at the moment. So until you get the next stage, if you like, the Internet of Things, as it's called, your cooker speaking to your smartphone, and then you having control with the voice output, that really isn't around at the moment, but it is possible for the future. The other issue, or really the question, why can't they put voice chips in the products? Mm. So that there's a voice output. I looked at central heating controls, and again, this is another issue that we've flagged up with the manufacturers.
I like my technology, and many of my family as well, even some older members of my family, are sort of embracing tablets and smart devices and the home assistants as well. And to me, if items can have apps which are accessible, that breaks down a lot of barriers. If it has an app that's accessible, then it's usable.
Absolutely. I think apps are for people that use smartphones and have taken that step are absolutely fantastic. There's no doubt about it. And I know the RNIB do have technology support for encouraging people. Just to hark back to the white goods situation, there still is this issue of the tactile being needed by a great number of people at the moment. It has been suggested to us that possibly products and services could be improved, you know, in the future, sort of by amending the Equalities Act. And there's other legislation about the European Accessibility Act. Well, it's draft legislation looking at the accessibility standards of products and services, but it doesn't take into account white goods. So we have to sort of watch, in a sense, what happens with the over-reliance on flat screens without voice and without tactile feedback, because consumer choice for blind and partially sighted people could get limited in the future.
We were talking about things which are important in the household, you know, washing machine, a cooker, you know, a fridge, a freezer. They are things which are up there in the order of importance, and the ability to use them is equally important. And as you say, let's not forget that not everyone is tech savvy. They just want something which has buttons that are tactile, which is dials that click maybe when they turn, you know, simple bumpons can be used. But it's getting harder and harder to find those when you want to replace something.
It is. That I think is the kind of real life issue. I mean, as I say, the two distinct audiences are the people like yourselves who have embraced the smartphone technology with apps, which has been fantastic and has given you insight and control over things that you didn't have before. But now we're sort of going back to the ye basics, like you said, and ye basics are important. And also they're expensive, aren't they? I mean, we're talking washing machines, as you say, tumble dryers, cookers, fridges. These are big items that you buy for, you know, a long number of years. So it's a big purchase. But you can't get that washing machine because it's inaccessible, because it's got a flat screen control without any tactile feedback.
It seems like lots of complications, but some quite simple answers. But that's the difficult point, isn't it? Is getting the manufacturers to embrace this and, you know, look at producing equipment that many people can use.
Yes, and I would urge people to tell us, because we have developed with a couple of other organisations a product review website. So if people have come across bad or poor products, particularly white goods that are inaccessible because of flat screens, please tell us, because on this website we're looking at mainstream products as well as specialist products, and people can tell us by ringing us, or they can fill in an online form, of course, on a review on the Rate It. The Rate It is the name of the website, and we also have large print versions as well. We have what we call non-digital options. And really, if people give us feedback about the problems of white goods, we can then, perhaps with Thomas Pocklington Trust, look at informing the manufacturers about this issue.
Chris, if people would like more information on RIDC or would like to learn more about the ratings website, what's the best way to do that?
You can ring us on 020 7427 2460. They can also go online to our website, which is ridc.org.uk. They will find a link to the Rate It website from that.
Chris, let's hope many more people do, because it will inevitably help the case for accessibility. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much indeed, Alan. All the best.